On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Capitals crap the bed and lose six in a row, Three's Company gets canceled, and Ovechkin has to wake up early. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. Welcome back. Sorry we missed last week. That was all my fault. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. Coach, it's good to be back talking to you again. Sorry about last week, missing last week's show. Kind of sucks, but hey, here we are. We're ready to roll, and right now, I think we're actually doing better than the actual Capitals are.
Yeah. They are on a little bit of a losing streak. I think since we last talked 2 weeks ago, the Caps went 2-4-2 and are currently on a six-game losing streak. That is not what you want to have happen. This team, they're supposed to be in a tougher division, even though they're struggling a little bit if you aren't the Pittsburgh Penguins. And everybody else seems to be playing really well. Columbus is winning. I mean, if Columbus is winning and you're not, something's going wrong. You know, so everyone else is winning. The Caps are not right now. They're struggling. Ovechkin was out in the last game, and they had no scoring whatsoever. So, I mean, this team, the roster, it's there's a big problem right now.
Yeah, the best way I would describe this team right now is lost. I don't know. Ovechkin, is he Matthew Fox? I don't know. But this team looks very lost. They look like they don't know where they're supposed to be. They look like a team that just started playing. They look like a team, you know, that just got together in September and is trying to find their footing. We're halfway through this hockey season, and they still don't have an identity. They still don't know who they are. I mean, yes, Ovechkin looks great, and he's the heart and soul of this team. But when a guy gets injured, even if he is your star player, you've got to have a better setup behind him to get things done. I mean, if you look at the game the other night when Ovechkin didn't play, there were four shots on goal in period three when they were already down. Four shots on goal 10 minutes into period three. Ovechkin can't be your only guy scoring, and I don't understand how this is going on. Now, let me just say this. I know when Ovechkin does play, we do have games like that where there aren't many shots on goal in each period, but Ovechkin can't be the whole team. He can't do everything here. Where's the rest of this team? What are they doing? Do they not realize that they're hockey players and that the goal of the game is to get the puck in the net?
Well, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're doing nothing. No one is doing anything. And to anyone out there that's talking about Ovechkin needing to be traded, I think the game against Ottawa showed you exactly why that doesn't make any freaking sense. Because right now, here's their only offense. Let's go and look at the forwards who are supposed to be scoring right now. Now, Nick Backstrom may be the second leading scorer on this team, but I wouldn't exactly say he had the best game ever against Ottawa. He's seen a couple opportunities, but he may be sort of the odd man out there in terms of it looked like the effort was there, but there's just nothing. Nothing was working. But if you go and you look at Troy Brouwer, you go and you look at Brooks Like, these are guys that are not scoring. They haven't been doing it all season. There's no secondary scoring on this team. Eric Fehr, a little bit, has been having some secondary scoring. You know, he's got a little bit of a slump going right now, but, you know, he's one of those guys that at least he appears to be out there and trying. You know, after those guys, Johansson to some extent, but he's not exactly a goal scorer. After that, you got nothing. I mean, defensively, Mike Green's supposed to be their big goal scorer. That's why he's getting paid more than $6 million a year. And he's not putting the puck in the back of the net. So if your name's on Ovechkin, you're not scoring right now, and that is a huge problem with this team. And it goes back in the way this roster has been built. I mean, I don't have it. I got to bring it up real quick. But if you go and you look at the stats and the guys that are leading this team in points, I mean, obviously you have Ovechkin first, and then Backstrom, Grabowski. I mean, he's actually done. He's got, what, 33 points in 48 games. That's not bad. Johansson's doing well. Their fifth leading scorer right now is Joel Ward. That's a problem. Joel Ward's getting paid too much money. He's your third line guy. What's going on when your third line guy is outscoring two of your second liners in Brooks Like and Troy Brouwer? That's a problem. This is not working out for this team. And right now, a lot of this I think comes back on George McPhee because he put this roster together. He's the one that went out and decided to give Joel Ward $3 million a year. He went out and re-signed Chimera to a new deal, and he didn't. You know, what money does he have left over to go out and sign a first-line guy to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom? Because it's not working. And when Oates goes and moves the roster around and decides to put Brouwer and Like on the same line with Backstrom in the middle, you're just wasting Backstrom's talent now because neither one of those other guys is scoring. So Backstrom's got no way of getting anybody to pass the puck to, and he can't do it all by himself. So it is, the lineup is a huge mess. This team is on a 6-game losing streak, a lot of that because the roster just isn't working out. And like you were saying, it's unacceptable that they're still struggling to figure out who they are. They're in what? It's got to be a year now that they're with their head coach. They should know what kind of team they are. I'm assuming Oates knows what kind of team he wants them to be, but a good coach is going to be able to turn them into that team he wants them to be. So the questions come back on him. Has he done enough? Yes, he was able to go out and, you know, not fix Alex Ovechkin, but he was able to figure out why he sort of was dropping off, and now he's come flying back and is one of the best players again in the National Hockey League. But what about the rest of the roster? You know, you're not seeing the guys that used to play very well playing the same way. Now, some extent, you know, a lot of the credit for Leick's career at the moment can be given to Bruce Boudreau and his offense and offensive-only system. I mean, he's doing the exact same thing in Anaheim now. And, you know, we're going to see that Anaheim's going to go into the playoffs and then probably get beat in the first round, just like Boudreau's dreams here in Washington. So, you know, McPhee went, he overpaid for Leick to stick around, and he's bringing these guys in that are grinders, but they're not scoring goals. So McPhee needs to go out and make a move, because right now it's not working.
It absolutely is not working. And I like what you brought up about Troy Brouwer and Brooks Leick. Two very talented hockey players, but two guys that remind me so much of each other on this team, and I feel as if you only need one of them on this team. For the most part, like their minutes haven't really gone down that much. Of all the players that usually get scratched over a period of a few games, to me it feels like one of these guys should be sitting in the press box once or twice this season, just for the sheer fact that I don't think they're getting the job done. I'm not putting all the blame on them for the offense, but at the same time, these guys are supposed to be key players. They're supposed to be the guys to back up when somebody like Ovechkin or somebody gets hurt. And here's another thing about this team, and I hate comparing the Capitals to the Penguins and everything, because this happens all the time, but when Sidney Crosby went down and he got, you know, what was it, a puck to the jaw, and he had to have surgery and everything to fix his jaw, the Penguins still did pretty well. I mean, they were still being able to make it into the playoffs even without their big star. The Capitals aren't doing the same thing. If Ovechkin goes down, I mean, that Ottawa game just shows you that these guys don't know what to do. I mean, I feel as if they're relying too much on him, but at the same time, everybody has their own job on this team, and it feels like some of these guys aren't getting it done. Grabowski, I have been absolutely impressed with this season. I would love to see him stay around with the Capitals, even though with the possibility of Kuznetsov finally coming over, it may get a little crowded around there, but whether or not he stays or whatever, that's something we can talk about in the offseason. But with the way this team is playing, that offseason may get here quicker than any Capital fans want it to, because these guys don't know what they're doing. They do not have an identity at all, and that's really scary for a coach who has been here a year. Yes, he's done his great job with Ovechkin. We keep bringing that up, and Ovechkin looks great, and he feels great, and everything seems to be going Ovechkin's way, but the rest of this team is just kind of like, all right, well, I guess I'm playing on the third line, I'm playing on the fourth line. I mean, one of the games recently, and I cannot remember off the top of my head which game it was, but Eric Fehr was playing with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. I mean, Eric Fehr.
Was it the last game? No, the game before that.
Yeah, it wasn't the Ottawa game, so it was the game before that.
It was against the Rangers.
That's a waste of Eric Fehr's talent. And let me tell you, I love Tom Wilson and Jay Beagle. I'm a big fan of those guys. I feel as if they're not there to score goals. They're there to get down and dirty and get gritty and tire out some players and put up a nice fight against these guys. But Eric Fehr on that line makes no sense. There was people on Twitter that brought up the fact that Volpatti was getting more games than Martin Erat, and how that was so terrible because Volpatti isn't a better player than Erat. Well, to me, they shouldn't be playing on the same line. Volpatti and Erat should not be doing those same things. Volpatti is a grinder. Erat is not. Erat's not a grinder. So comparing those two guys, to me, doesn't make sense. I understand Volpatti playing instead of Erat if he's playing with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, because that line is not there to score goals. It is there to be a grinding team and wear out the other team. Erat on that line, Fehr on that line, doesn't make sense. The coach here, I feel as if he doesn't know who his players are or what their roles are. I feel as if he just doesn't understand the team that is here. If he wants a certain identity and if he wants a certain team, then George McPhee and him have to work together and get guys to fit his scheme. obviously what he has right now is not what he wants, and it's not working out for him. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about a 6-game losing streak.
No, we certainly would not. And I like the fact that you brought up Eric Fair, because I'm not going to lie, I'm a big fan of Eric Fair. I think he's a talented player. I think he's had, you know, his career, I think, would have been better overall had he not had all those injuries, especially to his shoulders. And I think that he's got a lot of talent. He did, you know, I don't think he's a first-line player, even though they had him on the first line on the left wing. They were fetching a Backstrom at one point. But having him on the fourth line makes no freaking sense. Now, let's go and look at the statistics in between. I mean, if you go and you look at it, someone else needs to be playing on the first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. So your second line you need to figure out. Now, Grabowski's obviously going to be in the center spot. So who goes on the left and the right? Now, eventually it's going to be Kuznetsov. But I think for right now, even if he comes over at the end of the season, I don't know if they're going to throw him in there right away. But they might. You never know. I think ideally you want to have Johansson on the left. So then who goes on the right? Is it Like? Is it Brouwer? Is it Fair? Me personally, I'm going with Fair, and I'm going to tell you why. In 41 games, Fair has scored 8 goals and 11 assists. Not the best numbers, okay? Not the end of the world. It's good. For 19 points, that puts his points per game at 0.46. Now, in 50 games, this is 9 more games, Brouwer has scored only 9 goals and 11 assists. That's good for 20 points, putting his points per game at 0.4. So in 9 less games, Fair has scored 1 less point. That's it. Now, for some reason, Fair was the one that was sitting out all of those games. He's the one that gets bumped down to the fourth line, while Brouwer, who I have nothing against Brouwer personally, I think he's great on this team, is not showing up this season. And if you're not showing up, you need to sit in the press box because you're not going to help. Now, to some extent, you could say, well, why would Brouwer be sitting in the press box and not Brooks Like? Because Like's points per game is at 0.22. Like couldn't score if it was an empty net, okay? That's how bad his offensive season he's had right now. The difference is that Like can play center, and that's why I would keep him. I would put him at the third line center in between Chimera and Ward and play them there and see how that worked out. Now, Like is getting way overpaid to be a third line center, but you know what, McPhee, you made the mess. Now you got to deal with it. You're paying that much money, even though his best spot is probably on the third line. Now you got to deal with it. You know, so I put Like there, you put Fair and put Brouwer in the press box, and you have an opportunity. I think you move Brouwer out. Move out that cap money. You can go out and find someone else in the offseason. If Fair's not your guy, I think ideally I'd like to see Fair on the third line. I mean, having a third line of like Chimera, Like, and Fair, I think would be pretty dangerous. You move out Joel Ward, and then maybe you bring in a right wing to play with Kuznetsov and Grabowski next season.
You know, this is stuff that I wasn't going to expect to be talking about midway through the season. I think this would have been a more off-season conversation, but that's where we are right now. So we covered the offense a little bit here. Let's talk about the defense, and it is a dark day in Studio B for What the Puck, because one of my favorites, one of the nicest guys off the ice, one of the meanest guys on the ice, Steven Oleksii, was put on waivers by the Capitals. He cleared waivers, which I was shocked about. I mean, I figured some team would want him, but obviously that's not how it worked out. But now Steven Oleksii is playing in Hershey. That is a complete waste of his talent. He was the third best defenseman on this team. And we're bringing up guys like Connor Carrick and Nate Schmidt. Nate Schmidt is pretty much taking Steven Oleksii's spot. That's how it works in professional sports. I'm not holding that against Nate Schmidt. Nate Schmidt is a great talent, and he was a great pickup. He's a young guy, though. I don't understand why Connor Carrick, because it looks like Connor Carrick may also be here to stay, unless there's a defenseman brought in through a trade or whatever. But it seems like the help we really need right now is on offense, but defense as well is kind of in shambles. So Nate Schmidt, Connor Carrick, they might be here for sure. I don't understand why they're both here to stay. Especially Connor Carrick. Connor Carrick, the games that I've seen of his, he's making a ton of rookie mistakes. He seems to be in the penalty box a lot recently, and I don't really understand what the point of him being here is. I feel as if he could have been learning more in Hershey, even though he is getting a lot of playing time, just staying in Hershey and learning from the coaches and the guys there. He could have been a better asset next season to the Capitals than he is now.
I mean, I would have a hard time disagreeing with anything you just said. You know, I don't know if I go far in saying Oleksii is the third best defenseman right now, but well, with the way Green's been playing Orlov lately, you might actually kind of have a point there. You know, outside of Carlson and Alzner, they really don't have anything that's working out too well, and I cannot for the life of me understand the pairing of Green and Orlov. Now, the last couple of games, Orlov has struggled, but before that, he was actually playing pretty well. But my point is, why would you have two offensive-minded defensemen who are struggling defensively, whether it's Green his entire career or Orlov getting back into sort of that shape he was in before after having two concussions? Why would you have them playing together? I don't care if one's a lefty and one's a righty. It makes no sense because they're constantly leaving the goalies hung out to dry there. Okay, you have Carrick come up. He's going to be a good player for you in the future. I don't know if he's necessarily ready yet. He's going to have these rookie mistakes. So if you're going to go out there, you're going to have a rookie that's going to make these kind of mistakes. You need to pair him with a veteran that's going to be able to cover for his ass. Especially if it's a guy like Carrick who's going to want to jump into the rush because he's offensive minded. Then ideally, yeah, you have a guy like Erskine is going to be out there to be able to cover for him. The problem is that Erskine can't even cover for himself right now. He got a bigger deal to come in and play and be that guy to use his body to clear out opposing forwards who are being in front of the net, and the only thing he's doing right now is punching people in the face. Other than that, John Erskine, who I like Erskine, but he's not getting it done. He's another guy I could see or would like to see getting moved out, move his cap hit out, because he's not doing anything. And the fact that they sent down Alexi, who I thought was a perfect replacement for Erskine, because not only can he bring it better offensively, but he also can play the same way Erskine can play. Yeah, he's not as good a fighter, but I think he can definitely use the body just as good as Erskine. He may not strike fear into the opponent as well as Erskine does it, but I don't think that's as big a deal right now. I think that you know, unless he can move the puck better, that end alone, I would play him over Erskine right now just because of that. But you know, defensively, they're making some mistakes, and I think a lot of this is going to come back on Calle Johansson because this is his defensive unit. And just because you were a great defenseman in the NHL doesn't mean you're necessarily going to become a good coach. If you go and you look at one of the greatest players of all time, Wayne Gretzky, he wasn't a very good coach. No. So just because you were a good player doesn't mean that you're going to be a good coach. So right now, they got to go – and I don't think McPhee has the balls to fire Calle Johansson, though, to go back and fire a guy that he, you know, idolized – or, I don't know if he idolized him, but he liked him when he was a player for the Capitals and he was his general manager. So we'll see if he has the guts to make that move, because I'm questioned as to whether Johansson is the right guy to help the defensive unit get better, because they, outside of Carlson and Alsner, the defensive pairings right now are a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, they're a complete mess, and I think really that's why the goalies haven't been showing well recently, and we'll get into the goalies next, because definitely some stuff has happened since the last time we've talked about that. But Connor Carrick in front of that net, he worries me. He definitely does worry me. I found it interesting, and this will be my next question to you, Coach. Dmitry Orlov, I've been impressed with some of the stuff that he's done, but it's painfully obvious that Oates doesn't want him here. Painfully obvious.
I don't know about that.
Just think about this. Again, I'm sorry for my bad memory. I don't remember what game it was. It was an overtime game, and Orlov was trying to play offensively, and the opposing team just went around him, and that's what ended. And Oates went into the press box – or not the press box, sorry. He went into the press conference afterwards, and he named Orlov. He's like, that was his fault. That was a rookie mistake. He got too excited. So if the coach is out there specifically naming players and saying, you're the reason why we lost this game, or maybe not to that extent, but you're the reason why that goal happened – I mean, that says something to me. That says something to me where the coach is not happy that he's here. I don't know if he's feeling pressure from a guy like George McPhee to get Orlov here or what, or if he's just baiting Orlov until he can go trade for somebody else. But to me, it looks like Oates is not a fan of his. What about you? Do you think that – I mean, I know you're a fan of Orlov and everything, and maybe he is the right guy for this team, but – What are your thoughts? Does Oates think that this guy can get it done, or is it like a love-hate relationship? What do you think?
No, I can't say either way whether he likes him or not, but I think the fact that he's got him on the second pairing means that he likes something that he brings to the table. I think otherwise they'd be having someone else doing that job, whether it's Erskine or what is it, Alexi or somebody. You know, they would have had someone else playing with Green, but I think the fact that they have Orlov with him, knowing that Green is a nightmare defensively, you know. I mean, I remember that play in particular you're talking about. I'm blanking on the game, but it was his fault. You know, I don't necessarily like that the coach came out in the press conference and called him out, but it was his fault. He screwed up. And he did the same thing in the game against the Rangers when Nash got that early goal. Orlov tried to make a play, and whoops, he screwed up. He's been struggling a couple of games, and I think to some extent it's because they're playing him in the second pairing, and he shouldn't be there right now. They got to go out and find a veteran to play with Green in the second pairing, and why your highest paid defenseman is your second pairing. It's over $6 million a year. That kind of is a problem there, George. But, you know, I think Orlov should be on the third. I would like to see Orlov and Alexi together. And I don't know who's a righty lefty, so maybe that doesn't work in Oates' mind. But I think that would have been a better pairing. And then you move out Erskine or something, and you find a veteran to play with Green that can cover up for him, because right now, Orlov is trying to do too much, I think, for where he's at in his game right now. You know, the kid's still got potential. He's still got a little ways to go before he's going to really be that sort of second or first pairing guy that they think he can be. But having him on the second unit trying to cover up for Green is asking him to do too much. He's trying to jump in and do more offensively, and the problem is he's just not there yet, and he's causing these errors to happen, which then the other team goes and scores a goal. So I think Orlov, I think they like him. I think they're asking him to do too much right now.
Let me just end it with this, and I have no idea if this is true or not. This is just my line of thinking, but I would not be surprised if a trade were to happen if Orlov was a part of a package deal going somewhere else. Because to me, I just don't think Oates likes him.
Who are they going to replace him with then?
I have no idea.
Like, if they move out Orlov, then their defensive unit is just – I mean, it's already a freaking cluster, you know what, of a problem. So, like, I don't know who – if you move out Orlov – okay, if you're moving out Orlov and you bring in – let's say a guy in his mid to late 20s who can play a second pairing defensively. You know, with Carrick in the system, with Way in the system, I'd be upset because I like Orlov. I think he's going to be really good. But, you know, with Carlson Alston here and with you overpaying for Mike Green, you know, okay, fine, whatever. If you can go out and find that guy that can play with Green, finally find a guy that can play with Green for a long time, you know, then I think it's a good deal. But I just, if they move out Orlov and they don't bring someone else in, then the defensive unit just gets worse.
Yeah, I mean, if Orlov does leave, I agree with you, it will get worse. But I just have this feeling for some reason in the pit of my stomach that they're setting him up to be a package deal with somebody else and have him shipped out somewhere. Because, again, he was a guy who asked for a trade earlier this year as well. So who's
– Well, we don't know if he did. His agent did.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. I just wouldn't be – if it happens – I'm going to keep this show and use it all the time and say that I see things happen before they do. But, well, who knows? But anyway, real quick, I'm going to jump back to offense real quick because you brought up the Rangers game, and I forgot to bring this up earlier. I want to talk about Martin Erett's cheap shot on Brian Boyle. He takes the stick, puts it in between Brian Boyle's legs, and pretty much slaps the stick into his balls.
He's doing a cup check.
Apparently,
you know, what you have, it's just sports, man. You gotta be like, dude, you wearing those double check?
I gotta say, Martin Erett, I mean, I don't know if he just doesn't care anymore or what, but this was an obvious penalty and a dirty move. I mean, this makes me kind of not like him as much as I did at one point, even though I was never a really big fan of him. But to do something like this so blatant and so wrong and everything, this guy's got a – I don't know what he's doing. To me, it's just like he doesn't care anymore. So I don't know why they're even playing him at all. But it's obvious that he's not happy and he's going to take it out on anybody's balls that he can.
Well, they got a plan. They got nobody else right now.
That's true, yeah.
Which is kind of part of the problem. No, I mean, the thing – I don't understand what they're doing with Erett. Yeah, he came out – and not only his agent, but he came out and said that he wanted to move on. Okay, fine. Why? You can go play somewhere else. But then they didn't play him for forever. They had him in the press box. Now, I'm not an NHL general manager, but I'm fairly certain that in order to improve one's trade value, that other teams actually need to see the guy play the game of hockey. Seeing him in a press box, yeah, he may look nice in a suit. I don't know. But you're not going to get anything for him in a trade if you don't play the guy. Now, yeah, he's not exactly doing much when he does play. And sometimes when he's out there, I swear to God, he reminds me so much of Michael Nylander the second time he came around with the Capitals, where he just sort of skates in circles. He doesn't really do much with the puck, just kind of going in a circle, just having a good time. But move him out. At this point, you're not going to get back what you traded away. McPhee went and he panic traded because he didn't want them to miss the playoffs, and he overspent, you know, moving out Philip Fort. Yeah, we got Michael Lotta, who's down playing with Hershey. And shouldn't be, by the way. He should be up here with the Caps playing on the fourth line. You know, you went and you overspent to get Erett in a panic move. You're not going to get what you got. You screwed up. It's over. It was probably one of the worst trades he's made in his tenure with the Capitals. I think he's got to own up to it and just move Erett out to free up that cap space. You're not going to get anything good for him. So just get rid of him.
Nasty situation there. All right, well, let's real quick talk about goalies here. The three-headed monster, the Three's Company, which the photo kind of came up on our podcast.
That thing has gotten so much press. It's been everywhere.
On the NHL Network, all over the place. Three's Company, no longer. The trio is down, now down to two, and it's back to being Holtby and Neuwirth. Philip Grabauer went back to Hershey. I gotta say, I'm happy to see this three-headed monster gone. I'm glad it's back down to two guys. It had to be nerve-wracking for Holtby. I mean, obviously it was, looking at his play. But where do we go from here with these goalies? I mean, I obviously think that they're still trying to trade out somebody, because obviously they were impressed with Grubauer's play, with him playing so much. But Neuwirth, I got to say, up against the Penguins, even though they lost, I thought he looked solid. I thought that he could be the number one guy if Holtby doesn't get out of his recent funk that he's been in. But where do we stand now with these goalies? Is there a number one? Are these guys still fighting for it? Are we going to see Grubauer come back up? Is somebody else going to leave? What's your opinion on what's going to happen next with these guys?
I think Holtby is your number one. Neuwirth gets traded, if not at the deadline, which is things. The more I think of it, is less and less likely, depending on what someone else is going to give up for him. I think Neuwirth gets traded. If not at the deadline, he gets traded in the offseason, and Grubauer is back where he belongs in Hershey so that he can continue to develop, because it makes no sense having three young goalies and only playing one of them on a consistent basis. These guys need to be playing to get better. Holtby still has, you know, he still has room to get better. This isn't, you know, the best he's going to be. I think it was interesting what Oates said, something along the lines of they sent Grubauer down because they lost that spark that they got from him, which I think makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, yes, you play the goalie that gives you the best chance to win, but if it's going to be Grubauer, you need to move one of these guys out, or even both of them potentially, because it makes no sense having young goalies just sit there and do absolutely nothing. And that includes Michael Neuwirth, who has been around for a while, that's true, but he's still a young goalie. He needs to be playing. And right now, him and Holtby, I think, have the most trade value. Grubauer does to some extent because he's a young guy, but because he may not necessarily be NHL ready, even though he has played really well when he played, what was it, 14 of the Caps' last 20 games?
I think so.
You know, he's playing very well. You know, he still isn't a proven commodity. And technically, none of the three are. But I think right now, Neuwirth is the guy they're going to want to move out. His agent came out and asked for a trade, so I think he'll be gone. At the latest, my guess is the draft. That's the latest that Michael Neuwirth is a member of the Washington Capitals. I think they move him out. I would love to see him moved out at the deadline, whether it's the Olympics deadline or if it's going to be at the real deadline. Move him out, bring in a defenseman to play with Green, or a top six winger to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom, and really just start to lock up your roster, because right now this team is just a gigantic mess.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I got to say, I mean, in between Holtby and Nuvi, I've been most impressed with Nuvi. I think he's really played solid. When he finally made his return, his first game back since November, I thought that he did a great job. Of course, anybody's going to let goals through, but Holtby looks rattled when he's out there. Yes, the game against Ottawa, he did look a little bit better, but he's still letting softies through. He's still not. I don't know. To me, Nuvi looked like the number one guy, and Holtby did not. And hopefully, the reason why they're playing Holtby more than Nuvi is because they're trying to make sure he doesn't get rattled as much as he is right now. But he looks like a guy who's scared. He looks like a guy who's nervous to me.
I think Holtby's still adjusting to the new instructions he's getting from goalie coach Ole Kolzig. He wants them to play deeper in the net. And when Holtby first came up, he used to come out more and challenge guys, and Kolzig wants them to play deeper because this game has gotten to be a lot more left to right as opposed to up and down. So he if you're further in or deeper into the net, you cover more of the net and geometry and stuff. So he's able to go and cover more when he has to go left or right, as opposed to coming out and leaving more of the net potentially open. So I think he's still adjusting to the new instructions from Kolzig. And I think as he gets further into the season, the more he plays, he's going to get more comfortable with these new instructions, a new way to play, and he'll get better and better. I don't care if whether it's him or Neuwirth, whatever. Just move one of them out, because it makes no sense to have both of these guys sitting here. And the fact that Neuwirth, I get that you want to play, and if you want to be traded, fine. I don't like that it comes out to the press. That bothers me. You know, he didn't say it, so I can't really hold it against him, but the fact that his agent came out and said something really bugs me. If he doesn't want to be here, fine, trade him. You know, move him out. Grubauer has shown that he has at least the potential to play in the NHL, so either one you move out, you're just going to have to do this thing all over again in a year. So pick one, move the other one out. My guess is Neuwirth gets traded, and they go from there.
Well, let me ask you something real quick. You're saying that they're kind of changing the way Holtby plays, that they want him to play deeper in the net because the game is changing. But is that necessary to change the way he's playing? If he does go out and challenge more guys and everything like that, and it was working, is there a reason to mess with that? Or is this going to be better off in the long run as Holtby being an NHL goalie? Is he going to have a longer career if he learns this new style?
Well, it depends how the game progresses, and we've seen, you know, things can change on the NHL with the way people play. It used to be clutch and grab. Now it's a lot more open. And I think they're trying to show him that he doesn't have to come out quite as far, because if the goalie comes out and they make a nice pass across the ice, he's screwed, unless he's going to be the most acrobatic Spider-Man we've ever seen. He's not getting back and covering up that part of the net that's now wide open. So I think it's just an adjustment period that he's going to have to go through, and, you know, as the game progresses and as he gets better. If they keep playing the same way, where it's, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I think this game's going to be more and more about speed. So the fact that he's playing deeper in the net, I think, makes more sense.
All right. Well, did we miss anything? Did we cover everything in Caps World?
Well, there's two little interesting things. I thought the first one being George McPhee was apparently spotted at the Buffalo-Toronto game last Wednesday night. Now, there's no word on who he was scouting. But you got to think, if a general manager is there, they're definitely looking at somebody, potentially somebody in particular. And I would love for it to be Matt Molson of the Sabres. I think he'd be great with Ovechkin and Backstrom. The one problem is that apparently the Sabres want an awful lot for him. You know, we're talking like a top player or prospect, plus probably a first round pick. Now, Molson's not exactly a young guy. He's 30 years old, but I think he could be. He's a left winger. He could play great, I think, on that first line. Would I give him a first-round pick for him? That's tough to say, and I don't know what prospect. You're not giving up Kuznetsov. I mean, do you move out? Let's say Riley Barber and a first-round pick. That's tough, you know. But I think if this is the kind of guy that you can play with Ovechkin and Backstrom for the next 5-6 years, that's tough to say no to, you know. Or do you move out Neuwirth and a first-round pick? I mean, I don't know if that's going to be enough. But, you know, that's definitely something that Sabres may be interested in. So I think it's tough. You know, it's tough to say right now potentially what the Caps are going to do or what McPhee was doing there. Maybe just hanging out with some friends. I don't know. But, you know, that was interesting. The other thing I thought was kind of fun was that Ovechkin appeared on NBC's The Today Show this past Monday, January the 20th. He didn't really talk about the Caps, but he talked a lot about the Olympics in Russia. And there are some security concerns I know that are going on over there. But it was nice to see him getting that sort of public attention, even if he did have to do it with Carson Daly.
Carson Daly's, I think they're grooming Carson Daly to be the next Matt Lauer when he finally leaves, since there's so much controversy.
Well, we all make mistakes.
Yeah, Ovechkin, I thought he looked good on the Today Show. If you watch the behind-the-scenes video, it's actually pretty funny because he just asks everyone that works there, what time do you guys get up? I mean, this is pretty early. It's really funny.
That's what I've always wondered. I'm like, hold on, they start at like 7 a.m.? Like, I always wonder, like, the local news people who have to, like, you always see the advertisements, your morning news starting at 4:45. And I'm like, what the hell time are you getting up in the morning? You got to get up at what, midnight to get to work?
Yeah, usually those shifts start, if the show starts at 5, the shift starts at 3. So you're getting up at like 2:30, depending on where you live. But Ovechkin was just crazy. He was like, what time do you get up? And they're like, oh, I get up at 5, 5:30. And, you know, so they're treating him real nice. He looked like he had a good time doing it as well. He loves being on TV.
That's true. He does love the spotlight.
All right, so what else we got going on?
That's pretty much everything going on with the Caps. I'm just waiting to see if somebody's going to get traded, because this team is driving insane. And for the love of God, just trade Eret. Doesn't make sense. Just move him out.
One other thing that we got to bring up, it happened right before we started recording, is Evgeny Kuznetsov actually posted a picture of a letter he got from the Capitals organization, and apparently it was from George McPhee's assistant, Ashley Weber, and it was letters supporting his visa application for him and his wife. And he said, this is an important letter. Very interesting. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com is reporting that after he posted that, he quickly deleted the post.
Oops.
So I'm wondering if he wasn't supposed to put that out there, or if there's information on that picture that he posted that maybe not the best idea to have out there. But hey, it looks like if he's applying for a visa and the Capitals are supporting it, it looks like all signs are pointing to him finally coming over to the NHL.
Yeah, it's being reported by Ted Starkey that even though if he does come over, it won't be till the end, late March or April, until after the KHL season is over. But that makes complete sense for him to take it down because he doesn't, you know, he's not going to want to go and piss off at the Russian guys right now. He's still got to stay over there for a couple more months. And he doesn't want to get a black bag over the head and disappear. So I think it's going to be a while before we see Kuznetsov in a Capitals jersey.
Well, this guy better be worth the hype. But all right, so if that's it going on in Caps world, we're going to take a quick ride up 83. We're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, here we go. We're going up 83. We got Hershey Bears. We got Reading Royals. Coach Dan, what is going on in Hershey?
Well, since we last talked, the Hershey Bears went 4-2 with two wins over Albany, as well as wins over Springfield and Bridgeport. The Bears currently sit at fourth in the East Division and ninth in the Eastern Conference. They are 1 point behind eighth in the Eastern Conference with 44 points. So they're getting pretty close to getting back into the playoff race. They play again in a home-and-home Friday and Saturday against Syracuse and Sunday against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Baby Penguins. Interestingly enough, every weekend this month they have back-to-back-to-back games. AHL scheduling is weird. I don't understand. They have no games during the week, and then they have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, I believe Friday, this upcoming weekend, they go Friday on the road in Syracuse, then home against Syracuse, and then they're – well, I mean, on the road to Wilkes-Barre is not that bad. I mean, that's just like across the – but these guys are taking buses, so that still sucks to some extent. Now, up in Reading, where the schedule on their website is finally fixed, thank you, that sucked. They have gone 6-0 since we last talked.
All right.
And have won 7 straight since the 8th of January. 4 of those wins were over the Elmira Jackals, while the 2 other were over the Toledo Walleye. Yeah, that's their name. It's stupid. Reading currently sits at first in the Atlantic Division with 45 points, 5 points up on Wheeling, and they're 5th in the Eastern Conference. That's where both teams sit up in Pennsylvania.
All right, well, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently both teams, the Bears and the Royals, will both be doing Olympic-styled specialty jerseys.
Wait, really? I only saw the Reading ones you sent me.
Yeah, I sent you the Reading ones.
I actually like those.
Yeah, those were not that bad, but the Hershey Bears...
I'm paying $500.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd spend that much as well, but the Hershey Bears, they are doing a special Olympic jersey January 26th, and that they'll play in them, and then they'll be auctioned off following the game. And what it looks like is it looks like around the sleeves and the bottom of the jersey will be symbols of all the different winter sports that are played in the Olympics. And the jersey is kind of white at the top, little chocolatey around the bottom. Looks like it's kind of opaque around the neckline. So that's the Hershey Bears jersey. The Reading Royals, it looks like they're wearing the Reading Royals as a gold medal, and it has flags going up the sleeves and across the bottom of the jersey. So there's a little bit more fun than the Bears, but both teams showing their support for the Olympics during that time. So it looks like they're as excited as I am for these Olympics to get started in a mere 2 weeks, 2 weeks and a day, maybe.
That's right. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun to see how everybody's doing. But all the jerseys look horrible. That's not true. A couple of them are okay. I want to say Latvia or Austria has a pretty decent one. Sweden's, I think, is very nice. Everyone else suck, especially Russia's away one. The white in with the – I don't know what they're doing, but that one's just the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Russian one's not that great. I got to say Finland is my favorite. I think I actually tweeted out on the What the Puck Twitter account and Facebook page a page that shows all of the jerseys coming up. And I found it interesting. Did not know this, but Germany's men's hockey team did not qualify for the Olympics, so we will not see Germany playing this year. And I did not know that until last night. So
that's because they didn't have Ole Kolzig playing for them, even though he's from South Africa, because that makes sense.
All right, so if that's it for Up 83, let's go around the NHL. All right, Coach Dan. Well, we're going around the NHL. They've got 2 weeks before the Olympic break. There's plenty to talk about, so tell us what's going on.
All right, we got 2 weeks of news to catch up on. Let's start with a whole bunch of retirement news. Two-time Stanley Cup champion and former USA team captain Jamie Langenbrunner announced his retirement last Wednesday from the NHL. Langenbrunner spent 18 seasons in the NHL, winning the Cup with Dallas in 99, sorry, Dad, and in 2003 with New Jersey. He also played for St. Louis. He also won a silver medal in the 2010 Olympic Games. Screw you, Crosby. He played a total of 1,109 NHL games with a total of 243 goals and 420 assists. Now, Wade Redden also announced his retirement back on the 9th. He played 14 NHL seasons for Ottawa, New York, St. Louis, and Boston. In 1,023 games, he scored a total of 109 goals and 457 points. He also had 13 goals and 49 points in 106 playoff games. And the final retirement guy, Steve Bajan, announced retirement last Thursday. He played 524 games with the Calgary Flames, Montreal Canadiens, Dallas Stars, Boston Bruins, and Nashville Predators, scoring a total of 56 goals and 108 points. It should be retired news. Former Devil and Red Wing Brian Rafalski is back playing hockey, this time with ECHL's Florida Everblades. I guess if you kind of find your way back, that's one way. What's his name? Crazy Man figured it out with Breeze Galoff. He was playing the ECHL, made his way back to the NHL. Maybe Rafalski's trying to do the same thing. But I guess maybe he's not crazy enough to get back in the NHL like Breeze Galoff did. I don't know. Breeze Galoff is crazy. Last Sunday, Winnipeg fired their head coach, Claude Noel, as well as assistant coach Perry Perrin. That's actually his name. And replaced Noel with former Whaler, Hurricane, and Maple Leaf head coach Paul Maurice. Ottawa extended GM Brian Murray to a 2-year extension. Now, speaking of general managers, Edmonton's was awfully busy last Wednesday. First, they traded goalie Devin Dubnyk to Nashville for former Washington Capitals Matt Hendricks. Actually, I thought it was interesting. Hendricks went on later to say that Nashville wasn't a great fit. Whoops. They then dealt a third-round pick to LA for goalie Ben Scrivens. Both goalies are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents after the season. But I would think that Scrivens is likely to be re-signed if he plays well. Dubnyk, I'm not so sure about because, I mean, I think they picked him up now because Pekka Rinne can't get healthy to save his life. Interesting choice of words by me. So I think if Rinne is still hurt, then they might re-sign Dubnyk. Otherwise, my guess is he's going to go and become a free agent. In other trade news, the Rangers made a move today, sending defenseman Michael Delzato to Nashville for defenseman Kevin Kline. No, not the actor. Calgary signed center Matt Stajan to a 4-year extension worth a reported total of $12.5 million. And Philadelphia signed goalie Steve Mason to a 3-year extension worth a reported total of $12.3 million. Now, I don't know if you saw all this stuff going on with the Vancouver-Calgary game. Did you see all the craziness?
I did see this. That's just Tortorella being Tortorella.
It's everybody being Tortorella, apparently. During that game, 8 players were ejected. A line brawl broke out before the game even started. Now, Tortorella went and claimed that it was Calgary's fault for starting their 4th line, which, okay, fine. Maybe those guys are a little bit of goons, but it's not like you have to do the exact same thing. But you know what? He did. He started his 4th line, and then everything came to fisticuffs. Now, you could have just started another line, or maybe you would have gotten a power play or played some hockey. Who knows? Calgary coach Bob Hartley was fined $25,000. Tortorella, who after the first period decided to go into Calgary's hallway outside their locker room and start screaming at the players, you crazy man, you have been suspended for 15 days for his actions during the game. I believe that counts for 6 games. Tortorella, you are a dummy. moving on from his psyche, he's insane. Buffalo's Mikhail Grigorenko wasn't too happy about being sent back down to the Quebec Major Juniors Quebec Ramparts for the remainder of their season. And you know what? He just decided not to report to the team. Last week, he changed his mind and is now back down from that stance and will be reporting to the Ramparts. I'll bet that first step in the locker room is going to be nice and awkward.
I do what I want.
I'll have to go. Yeah, you do. Shut up. And finally, some trade deadline dates to be aware of. During the Olympics, there is a roster freeze for all teams. Now, I'm not sure if – I'm sure general managers can talk, but you're not allowed to make any moves. Now, this begins at 3 p.m. on Friday the 7th. So that's sort of the first trade deadline of the season. The actual NHL trade deadline is March 5th. So I would not be surprised to see a bunch of deals being made – a couple of deals being made over the Olympics, and then, of course, all the craziness is going to happen on March 5th. Now, as we speak, I'm sitting here watching whatever the Versus, whatever they call it on the NBC Sports Network. Apparently, we almost had a Carey Price, Marc-Andre Fleury fight in that game.
All right.
I don't know what's going on, but I just saw they were both had helmets off, gloves off, skating towards each other, and the refs broke it up. Thanks for covering for Holpe, you douchebags. But apparently goalies are not allowed to fight anymore. But that would have been kind of fun. Although, Carey Price, don't get hurt. You're on my fantasy team. But other than that, you can beat up Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't care.
Also, Coach Dan, you got to let Versus go, man. It has been a few years now. Versus, you know, hasn't been around.
NBC Sports Network is too hard to say. Oh, now they're showing Emery beating the bejesus out of Holpe. Thanks. You're doing a great job, formerly Versus. Holpe, who doesn't want to fight. Emery, beat him up, didn't get suspended. Yeah, whatever. Thanks, NHL. You don't make any freaking sense. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past 2 weeks.
Formerly Versus. That was great. All right. Here we go. Coming up until Coach Dan and I talk again on the podcast, we have three games to discuss here. Friday, January 24th. These are all away games, by the way. The Capitals are going to be hitting the road. No DC games coming up until next Thursday. So Friday, January 24th, Capitals against the Devils, 7 o'clock. Comcast Sportsnet is where you can watch that game. Saturday, January 25th, the Capitals go to Montreal and go up against the Canadiens, 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet to see the game. And then Tuesday, January 26th, the Capitals will be in Buffalo. It's been great luck against Buffalo this season so far. That game,
one of the worst teams to win. Yeah. They can't score goals.
That game starts at 7:30, and that is going to be on the NBC Sports Network, or formerly Versus, as Coach Dan likes to call it.
Formerly OLN, formerly, I don't even know what else.
All right, so we've got 2 weeks until the Olympics. We are going up against, on Tuesday, Ryan Miller, who is looking great to be the starter for Team USA as being the starting goaltender. Is this going to be another matchup against the Sabres and against Ryan Miller? And is this going to be another shutout for Miller? Are the Capitals going to change up their game in any way? Or is this guy so in tune and so excited to play in the Olympics that he is just going to be on his game this time around, do you think?
Here's my suggestion for the Capitals going into this game. They didn't do it the first two times, so maybe you want to try it this time. Screen the damn goalie! Stop giving one of the best goalies in the NHL the opportunity to see the puck the whole way in. Somebody stop being a pansy, grab a pair, and put your butt in front of his face so he can't see the shot. I don't understand. Both of their losses was, what, they scored one goal in each game against Ryan Miller and none in the shootout? Put your butt in front of him and give him a tough time. Don't make it easy for him to see the puck, because if you can see it coming, it's not getting past him.
That's what we can hope for, and this is good practice for Backstrom and Ovechkin if he's going to be the starting guy for Team USA, if they want to score some goals in the Olympics. So they should really take this seriously. But hey, that's going to be up to them. So three games throughout the next week. If you want to talk to us during those games or before we record What the Puck again next week, you can always tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I had an article go out earlier this week about the roster and how it makes no freaking sense, although it's not necessarily the words I chose to use, although I would have liked to. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Also, like the show itself on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, 2 P's in that title. And follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Let your friends know there are plenty of ways to listen to What the Puck. We are available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. So plenty of ways to listen to the show. Be social. Let people know on the web that you're a Caps fan and they should be listening to What the Puck. It is free entertainment. We do this show for free. You download it for free. Not many things you can get in this world for free anymore. This show's one of them. So all we ask is that you tell people about it. Be social. Go on to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Reddit and Instagram and other social networks. That tell people on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, you know, other social networks that I don't really know about. Let people know about What the Puck and where to download it. Leave us an iTunes review as well. That way we can get some recognition in the iTunes world and they can start talking about us a little bit more. Same thing on Stitcher, Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Leave comments whenever you can. Let us know how we're doing. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're great. All we want is to hear from you guys. So please let us know what you think and what's going on with the show. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Three big games. Let's see if this team can find its identity. Hopefully it's not like Jason Bourne and doesn't know who it is anymore. Let's figure out if these guys can get together and actually win a game or two. And until then, we're saying, let's go Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Yeah, the best way I would describe this team right now is lost. And a little space here to edit so I can put in the lost theme in post-production. Nice. And then we're back.
So, you know, we still have some time before we're going to see Ovechkin in a Caps sweater, but it could be at the end of the season.
I think you should say that again because you said it's
going to
be...
Because I said Ovechkin.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said it's going to be a while until we see Ovechkin in a Caps jersey. I don't think you're right.
No. Son of a bitch. It's going to be Friday. Hopefully, unless he's still hurt. What did I say? So I think it's going to be a while. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.